It's Big Ten Media Week with Dirt and Sprague.
The reality is, if you want to be elite in this sport, it takes putting together arguably three or four top five recruiting classes. Like, if you want a chance to legitimately win a national title and contend year in and year out, that's where you have to be.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, on the standard.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Final hour of the radio program is usually already passed, but it is not today. This is the final hour. We are going till 10 a.m. Jonathan Smith is on the podium now. A little nervous, I would say, is how I would describe his opening remarks. Had to look down a lot. Almost forgot Iowa's head coach's name, Kirk Ferentz. But says he's excited to be in the Big Ten. He just took a question on Aiden Childs transferring over and how good he can be, which obviously we all know that he's pretty pumped to have Aiden Childs follow him from Oregon State to East Lansing. People are asking him questions now, so I don't know if anything will come of that. We already talked with Jack Velling, who was there as tight end, formerly of Oregon State, as Aiden Childs and Tanner Miller followed him along with the coaching staff. And Jack had some interesting thoughts, basically loves Oregon State, but the opportunity presented itself, and even asked him about some Goodwill stuff, so dropping his clothes off. You want to catch that interview, you can, at 1080thefan.com. This final hour is probably going to whiz right by. We're going to talk with Steve Hellwagon. He covers Ohio State. They talked yesterday, so yesterday was Buckeye Day. We'll talk with him at 9:15. Immediately after him, we'll break. We'll come back. We got Josh Pate, who's going to join us from Late Kick with Josh Pate, 24/7 in CBS Sports. We'll get his thoughts on everything. We've talked with Heather Dinich, Miller Moss, Jeff Schwartz. We've just been flexible and moving around. There's a lot that we're going to put up at 1080thefan.com. We touched base with Swag as well. He's not sure if he's going to go to St. Elmo, which would be a real shame to not get the shrimp cocktail and maybe a ribeye steak.
You
and
gotta
say,
go.
Hey, I gotta experience it.
This is like going to New York and not getting in a New York style pizza.
Well, those are like literally on every corner. It'd be impossible, but like, yeah, it'd be like going
deep dish
in Chicago or you know, Detroit style in Detroit or whatever. Wings in Buffalo. Like, it's cliche, it's touristy, but like, it's also supposed to be really good. You're right across the street. Go enjoy it.
Right. Even if it's a solo trip, get a podcast, put it in your ear, and just go enjoy the shrimp cocktail. Shell out for the nice steak. Enjoy it.
You should enjoy it before all the animals are on cocaine. Did you see the report out of Brazil that sharks now have cocaine in their system?
Did they meet Pablo Escobar? Like, what's happening? There's a shark, Pablo Escobar? What's happening?
We had Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
Well, now we got cocaine shark, according to multiple reports that sharks now are being found in Brazil to have cocaine in their system.
I feel like that should have happened before Cocaine Bear. Like, they had to fly.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like, didn't they transport it from, like, Cuba or Venezuela? Well, it had to fly over water. Stuff happened.
I think they've transported however they could possibly transport it. So boat probably included in that.
Right.
But yeah.
That could spill. Boats spill all the time.
Somebody is going to make a movie in the next 5 years with sharks and coke in their system. They've already made one with bears. Why would they not do it with sharks?
They should do it with a Sharknado as well.
Sharknado on cocaine. Boy, that's a thing to see.
That'd be terrifying. That's my worst nightmare. I might never sleep again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't blame you. Yeah, shelter may not matter at that point. They just eat right through it.
What's your number one fear? Sharks on cocaine in a Sharknado. I don't think I'll ever survive.
How many Sharknados they end up making?
Seven or eight. I watched the first
two. I watched the first one. I don't think it wasn't like I sat down and watched it. I like accidentally watched it and then everybody caught on to it.
I recorded it.
You recorded it?
I did check it out. I was in middle school and everyone's talking about Sharknado and then you look up the poster and it's like Tara Reid and some other hot. It's like,
Tara Reid.
Check it out.
Yeah. American Pie superstar Tara Reid.
Yeah, I didn't even know of American Pie at that point.
Well, you don't even know if you were alive, to be quite honest.
No, but that's Sharknado came out like freshman year of high school.
Yeah, that tracks.
I think around there.
I remember
for
us talking about it on the show like years ago, Dirt and I.
Yeah, it was like around 2012-ish. So yeah, that would have been around like, I am aware that there's an American Pie series, but I probably haven't seen the original.
Yeah. Well, we'll go from Sharknado to Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts because that's just the natural order of things here, right? If you're not going to get hit by a Sharknado, you got to watch out for Bucknuts. They go crazy over there in Columbus.
They're everywhere. I'm shocked they didn't throw him at the duck.
Well, Steve's a good friend of the show. We've had him on several times. We're probably going to have him on the week Oregon plays Ohio State because, like, that's going to be the game of games. I'll go look at the schedule, but I'm pretty sure that's the biggest game, and I'm not sure how close it is. But, yeah, Steve, I'd be curious to pick his brain. Ryan Day's media session was yesterday. We talked earlier about hot seat business. If it's real, is it manufactured? Is it just message board fodder? He hasn't beaten Michigan in three straight years. Ohio State's coming in, maybe the best team in college football. I'm just going to continue to reiterate. It is so weird to see Jonathan at Michigan State. It's just doesn't feel right. But we'll see. He's a good coach. Say what you want about him. He's a damn good football coach. He's just not going to recruit an elite level. But it's kind of one of those things that, like, hey, year one, maybe they go 6-6. Makes people feel a little bit better about the direction of that program.
Well, and he's also the perfect fit for Michigan State. They are the little brother. They're the little brother's little brother, really. And
wow.
You can build a winner, though, right?
Wait, are you saying Michigan's Ohio State's little brother?
I mean, they were until the last 3 years.
What's that all-time rivalry at?
I thought Ohio State had taken over.
Well, I'm just kind of curious.
I would assume when you go basically 20-0 for 20.
Michigan is 61-51-6 against Ohio State. I think you labeled that.
Well, right. You know what? Hand up. I apologize.
That's okay.
I was wrong.
We make mistakes.
You're the little brother.
Yeah, there you go.
You're back to just the little brother.
But he's the little brother of the big brother in the state that the big brother doesn't concern himself with because the other little brother is in a different state.
The whole thing.
He's the third child, not the middle child.
There, that's the better.
That's the better.
He's the third child.
Yep.
And there's a 10-year age gap.
I think we nailed it. Yeah. Let's go to Steve Hellwagon. Josh Pate will join us. Steve Hellwagon, bucknuts.com, joins us from Big Ten Media Day next on The Fan.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's talk with our good friend Steve Hellwagon, Buck Nuts. He's one of our good friends, man. He's been covering Ohio State a long time. Long time, Steve. We love having you on, man.
30th year. This is my 30th year starting full time. And 30th time I've been at the Big Ten preseason meetings. So
It's great to have you. What motivated it wasn't that I hadn't thought of you. It just yesterday you got to ask one of the couple questions to Petiti, and I loved that you asked him a Michigan, like, hey, Michigan, anything going to happen from that whole, you know, big cheating thing? I love that you were able to ask that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't doing it as much to troll Michigan as much that I thought, again, this is a guy who was in his first year as the commissioner of the Big Ten. You have all this upheaval with four new schools onboarding the following year and everything else that's going on in the world. And out of nowhere at midseason, these allegations start popping up about Michigan sending people into the stadiums of their future opponents so that they can basically videotape or capture what the sideline signals look like, take that back to campus, decode it, because this guy had a military intelligence background, of all things. How comical was the whole thing? I mean, you think about it, you just sit there and you laugh. They're doing a Netflix documentary on the guy, Connor Stallions. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, this was Tony Petiti in his first year. He's got 13 schools calling him saying, you got to throw the book at these people. They've cheated us, you know, for a year, 2 years, whatever it's been. And he was put, as I termed it, a very untenable position. But he handled it, I thought, pretty well. And they still got a chance to play for the Big Ten championship. They won that, made the playoff, obviously won those two games and won the national championship. And now we wait for the other shoe to fall from the NCAA.
I was very uncomfortable knowing that we all knew they cheated and they just nothing. Like, hey, go ahead, go play, go win the whole thing. Like, hey, you know, this is usually a big deal, but all right, we'll move on. Ohio State, Steve, is loaded, as you know. They are the consensus number one in the Big Ten, almost consensus. Oregon got a couple votes, but largely considered the favorite in the Big Ten, and right there with Georgia is maybe the best team, if not the best team in the sport. All the additions they add, plus the guys that are returning. We talked earlier, and we've talked about this a couple times. You're in Columbus. You cover this program. You know what message boards say. This guy's 56-8, and we act like he's some bum coach because he has lost to Michigan, and I get that's a big deal to you guys, a great deal. Is he really on a hot seat? Like, if we're being honest here, is there a real hot seat, or is this a media fan narrative?
I don't think it's a real hot seat. He's getting a new athletic director. Ross Bjork just arrived from Texas A&M. A new college president, Ted Carter, just came in from Nebraska. So those two guys have a ton of expertise in managing expectations and what is expected at a football school. And certainly that is Ohio State, you know, number one right off the ship. So I look at it that he's got a long-term contract for a lot of money. He is recruiting at an extremely high level. They have the number one class on paper right now for 2025. And he's setting them up for success for years to come. I don't think that, I don't envision them losing to Michigan this year with all these guys coming back, the game being played in Columbus, Michigan only having four returning starters and a new coach. It just sets up so well for Ohio State to at least win that game. But does that mean that they're going to go out to Oregon and win? We don't know that. And does that mean they're going to go on and win the Big Ten championship? We don't know that either. So I think that they're positioned well. I don't look at it that he's on a hot seat, but as he says, you know, try losing a game or two and see what the response is from the natives. They get a little restless there in Columbus, and three straight 11-2 seasons, three straight losses to Michigan, no Big Ten championships for a few years. So, yeah, I think Ohio State fans are ready to take the next step again.
I'd love to put a Buckeye fan that puts him on the hot seat and say, who are you hiring? And then see them go, Steve Elwagon's our guest here, bucknuts.com, 24/7 sports. Who's the quarterback? I thought done deal easy. Maybe it is just Will Howard, but it feels like there was a little noise about that. Is it Will Howard, or is there a competition brewing?
Well, I think the preseason camp starts next week, August 1st, and he'll be the number one, I think, starting out. But it'll be a competition. And Coach Day said they've got five scholarship quarterbacks. They're going to whittle it down to three guys getting reps for the middle 2 weeks, and that's where the competition will lie. And I think about 2 weeks before the opener against Akron, that's when the coach will probably come out and make a announcement that it'll probably be Will Howard, the transfer from Kansas State. I don't know how you turn him down. He's got 2 years of starting experience. He won a Big 12 championship, beat the undefeated TCU team 2 years ago, and he can run the ball, whereas the last few quarterbacks they had there, McCord and Stroud, you know, the two guys before him, really did not want to run the football much. Fields was a willing runner before them, but that's what may be missing perhaps from the offense. The offense kind of took a little bit of a step back last year with McCord, and the offensive line wasn't quite as good either.
Yeah, what do you expect to see differently with Chip Kelly at the helm?
You know, that's a great question. I talked to a UCLA reporter, and he said he did great things at UCLA with his offense, very imaginative, and was doing it with 3- and 4-star players. He says, I'm going to make appointment viewing to watch Ohio State to see what he does with 4- and 5-star players. So, you know, I guess that's the anticipation, is that, you know, he comes in with all of this excitement around him that he walked away from the head coaching job at UCLA, a special friendship and kinship with Ryan Day. Ryan Day played college football for Chip Kelly at New Hampshire. They worked together at a couple of NFL stops as well. And Ryan Day said yesterday he would trust Chip Kelly with his life. So giving him the tools to call the offensive plays is really not that big of a deal, I guess, for Ryan Day, who can now be more of the program manager. And, you know, it is a full-time job now with this NIL and the transfer portal and dealing with, you know, perhaps even dealing with player agents at times as well. Believe it or not, at the college level, there's all these other things that go into it. He can help out on defense, and he can also help out on special teams as well, Ryan Day. So I think it's going to be the best of both worlds for all concerned.
Yeah, college programs are hiring positions they're calling GMs now. So, yep. it's a different world we're living in. We're talking with Steve Elwagon of BuckNuts.com, covers Ohio State. Their day was yesterday. I would say largely it was Ohio State and kind of everybody else. No disrespect to Illinois or Rutgers or Purdue. It just is kind of a lame duck group. And then, oh, there's Ohio State. It's the pick preseason to win the conference. However, there was another team that it wasn't their day, and they kind of became just as much a storyline because they put a big-ass floating duck in the river outside of Indianapolis' stadium where this is all being held. We go into this weary that this conference realignment's going to kill pageantry and rivalry, and maybe it develops over the years, but I'm wondering today, and I was wondering this yesterday, Steve, we haven't played a conference game between Ohio State and Oregon. It feels like there may already be animosity because Oregon's picked second. Many think they can win the conference in year one. They're recruiting at a high level. They're right behind Ohio State in that regard. They're taking over, you know, media days that they're not even a part of. Is there already kind of this natural hatred built towards Oregon without even having a conference game happen yet?
Yeah, I think that there is, I don't know about animosity, but it is certainly spicing up because these two schools are going head-to-head for a lot of top athletes and recruits, and you're seeing Oregon, you know, beat out Ohio State for different players, and, you know, it could be NIL-related. Ryan Day talked about how, you know, NIL's built in and around Columbus with the fans of the program. He shared a story how Ohio State used fan money 101 years ago to build Ohio Stadium. And now, you know, all this, a century later, they're using fan and private money to help pay for players and much the same thing that Oregon's doing. So, you know, we're not privy to all the ins and outs of the exact dollar figures and different things like this, but it is a competitive marketplace, and these two schools are going after the creme de la creme, the best of the best, and there are going to be some feelings hurt at times over these type things, and certainly, you know, Oregon doesn't have to prove to me that they're legitimate. They came into Ohio State 3 years ago and handed Ohio State their helmet. So, I mean, they blistered them. So, if Ohio State doesn't have their ducks in a row, for lack of a better term, and go into Eugene ready for a battle, they're going to get it handed to them again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it and here's the thing. I mean, I'm 56 years old. I grew up, you know, watching Woody and Bo when I was a little kid, you know, in the 70s and Ohio State and the Big Ten. And they added Penn State, and that seemed natural since it was a contiguous state. Then they add Maryland and Nebraska and Rutgers, and you're kind of like, okay, whatever. You know, Nebraska at least has some cachet. Well, now you're going three time zones away, and it just, to me, I'm not necessarily excited about it. On one hand, I know the games are going to be great on the days that they're played, but it just it feels like, you know, kind of like when Texas and Texas A&M stopped playing and Nebraska and Oklahoma stopped playing and all these things, that, you know, you're losing part of the identity of the sport. But I don't know. You know, Ohio State's going to play Indiana and Illinois less and UCLA and USC and Washington and Oregon more. So I guess that's a good thing.
There's some belief that maybe this is Oregon's most loaded team on paper, just from a talent standpoint. Ohio State's had so many great teams that have won titles. Where does this one rank for you in terms of just all of these guys? And you wrote some really good pieces. You know, you got Burke and Sawyer and Henderson. You got Buka, who's there as well. You got players that could have very well left. Coming back, they all talked about how this is important to leave on the right note for Ohio State. Where does this one rank just on paper of most loaded Buckeye teams?
Yeah, it's up there. I'd put it in the top five or top ten. And as I said, I go back full-time 30 years. And I consider that from about the mid-90s on, the modern era now of college football. It was a little bit different game prior, you know, in the late 80s. It was just a much different, you know, game. Ohio State lined up in the I formation and ran play action pass off of that. You know, it was really very rudimentary the way that they attacked people. And I think starting in the 90s, you saw some new ideas that really started to take hold. And what Purdue did, you know, with its spread offense and Joe Tiller, you know, there in the late 90s, early 2000s, people started, you know, latching on to that as a way to attack defenses. And so, yeah, I would put it up there. They've had some great teams in the past that were full of NFL players, national championship teams in 2002 and 2014. Their 2015 team came back from that championship and didn't make it to the championship game or the playoff the following year. But that was an outstanding team with Bosa and Elliott and Michael Thomas and so many guys, mm-hmm. you know, that went on to play years and years and years in the NFL. So they're up there. I think what's interesting, you had 10 or 12 guys who could have gone and gotten drafted in the NFL draft. Maybe a couple of them could have snuck into the first round. I don't know that any true surefire first rounder, maybe JT Tuimoloau, mm-hmm. Late first rounder from up there in Seattle, maybe he would have been a first rounder, but most of them would have been second, third round picks. But they did make the decision to come back and chase a championship. And at Ohio State, they give out a little pendant of gold pants for guys who beat on a team that beats Michigan. None of these guys have a pendant, you know, of gold pants. I mean, the fifth-year guys do, but nobody that's played the last 3 years does. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out this year.
Well, we're looking forward to having Steve Hellwagon, former conference, you know, other conference member. Now he's a conference foe here as they get ready with Oregon, Washington, and the LA schools joining us live in Indianapolis. Very quickly, Steve, because we appreciate the time. Just who is the program outside of the obvious, the Penn State, Michigan, Ohio States, in the Big Ten, the traditional Big Tens, the most underrated fan base that we will discover in following this conference more regularly now?
You know, Nebraska has more support than probably 10 teams put together.
Yep.
For them to continue to impact that stadium with as terrible as the football has been at Nebraska for the last decade, I think that is a tribute to their fan base. Iowa has a great fan base as well, and they've had good teams, just haven't had any good offenses in recent years. And now they've hired Tim Lester as their offensive coordinator. You know, if they put a few points on the board, my goodness. I mean, they made the championship game here, last year, I suppose, and didn't, you know, couldn't score a touchdown. So that'll tell you how good the football there can be. But yeah, those two in particular, Wisconsin, don't get caught after night after dark up in Wisconsin. That that jump around will get you. So yeah, there's some magical places in this league, and then there are some that are destined to play the noon game on Big Ten Network for in perpetuity. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
or better
absolutely.
Yet. Better yet, in complete anonymity on Peacock.
Well,
so.
We threw you one of those from L.A., and they wear baby blue. There we go. Steve Hellwagon, Bucknuts.com.
Yeah, 44,000 people at the rolling around the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, they'll say it's that number. It ain't. It's more like four. There we go. Good stuff, Steve Hellwagon. Steve, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Yep, take care.
All right, there we go. Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts.com. From Steve Hellwagon to Josh Pate, the commissioner of college football, joins us live from Indy next.
This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Big Ten Media Days are brought to you in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll, and we roll back to Indianapolis. We just talked with Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts.com, who does an exceptional job. Back to Indy because swag has grabbed the commissioner. No, not Tony Petitti, though many would call him that. This is the college football commissioner, the one that wants the job the most. Late Kick with Josh Pate, our good friend Josh Pate of Late Kick Live. He's got a late edition today is what he teased on his Twitter account. CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ on Twitter, at Late Kick Josh. We have a lot of football to talk about here, commish, but I need an honest God's hand, a hand to God review. Twisters. Where were we out on Twisters?
All right. So you know I send out chalices of supremacy, chalai of supremacy. I also rate movies on a sliding chalai scale. For the listeners who are unwashed, if you put an I on the end of anything, it makes it plural. So we call a plural of chalice chalai. I gave it 4 out of 5 chalai.
Mm.
Let me get the small beefs out of the way. There was not enough overlap with the first movie. There were hardly any callbacks. If you watched this movie, you never would know there was an original Twister. Not a bad thing, just a thing. The score of the movie I didn't like. I felt like it was plucked from a random action movie and dropped into Twister. Mm. The soundtrack's good. I hope you like country, otherwise you'll disagree with me, but the soundtrack's good. But here's what's most important. Okay, the vibe, they nailed it again. What it's like storm chasing, they totally nailed it. And again, for those unfamiliar, I do this stuff multiple times per year, so I know exactly, at least in this compartment, what I'm talking about. I don't speak authoritatively on much, but on this I can speak authoritatively. They also did not hijack the movie. The other concern we had in the storm chasing community was they were going to Hollywood hijack it, double H, as we call it, and that is take something you love and say, eh, this isn't good enough. It wouldn't be entertaining. Let's put our spin on it. Well, they did that like 10%, which is anything Hollywood touches. But by and large, they left it alone. There were no like weird agendas pushed in the movie. They didn't make it a romance movie that involves tornadoes, which is what some people worried they would do. It's not some shrine to Glenn Powell or anything like that. Hmm. Everything fits. Everyone fits. 4 out of 5, Chalai. Go see it.
I need to go see it. My little brother and I used to watch that movie religiously over and over again. Love Bill Paxton. Love Helen Hunt. I know it may be the most ridiculous part of that original as a storm chaser yourself. Do they have any moment where Glenn Powell is as badass as when Bill Paxton has the dirt in his hand and he just says, let's roll? Because he can just feel it. He knows it. He can call it. And it's ridiculous. But do they have a little bit of that at all?
Yeah. So here's what's crazy. Oklahoma, as you know, is a fairly big state.
Yes.
And it's out in the middle of nowhere. So there's a lot of middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma. We were out there in a very small, like, map dot town called Fairview 3 or 4 months ago chasing, and we had a tornado worn cell and we were chasing it out there. Okay, so we used this intersection, this little three-way intersection in the middle of nowhere in Fairview for our staging area. Then fast forward 3 months and I'm watching Twisters, and sure enough, the first scene, this is not a spoiler, but the first scene where all the chase teams converge on each other is right there at that place we had staged. And when I tell you this is middle of nowhere, it is 200 miles from the nearest city of any size. And so Glenn Powell pulls in there, cowboy hat on, and just screams, you don't face your fears, you ride them. There is a crowd around him. He said, hey, if you feel it, chase it. So, yes, that was the dirt drop moment in this new one.
That's awesome. Josh Pate is our guest here, the commissioner of college football. He's been traveling from media day to media day. He is in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Day. We just talked with Ohio State, Steve Hellwagon. We've talked to many guests today. Oregon's day is tomorrow, and yet they hijacked day one with a floating duck. What have we made of the new additions to the Big Ten this year, and how it's all going over for other people that have been in the Big Ten?
Yeah, you want to be the person in the marketing department that makes every other person competitively in your field go, why didn't we think of that? You want to make their bosses come to them and say, why didn't we think of that? You could have had a floating anything. You could have had a floating corn cob in that river today if you're Nebraska, but no one else thought about it. It feels a little weird. I mean, I walked in the building 20 minutes ago. Lincoln Riley was on the stage, and they were asking him barbecue questions, which is the bane of his existence, and then they were asking him about his defense and how they couldn't stop molasses in December last year, as Meemaw would say. And then you juxtapose that to, we were talking to, you know, Greg Schiano yesterday, and it's the most buttoned up, roll up your sleeves, lunch pail, go to work, smash mouth style of ball you can play. And to think that all of that exists in the same conference now. And then you throw Oregon in there as well. The difference with Oregon, I know this has been a talking point, but it really will start to ramp up when they start playing football, is a lot of these folks in this conference are going to understand that Oregon's built to play Big Ten football a little bit more than they are built to play Big Ten football. Because at line of scrimmage, everyone, aside from Ohio State maybe, and Michigan, will be playing catch-up to Oregon in that department. That's not to even mention the edge they'll have in quarterback play, perimeter skill, talent, and that sort of thing. So Lanning comes in here tomorrow. I am very interested to watch how his profile grows. I think hardcore fans know about him. Like, no one needs to tell folks like us about Dan Lanning. I still think the casual college football fan, they know Nick Saban. They're probably just now finding out Saban retired. They know who Ryan Day is. They know Jim Harbaugh. Probably don't know that he left either. They know Kirby Smart. I think they know the name Dan Lanning, and I think they remember that soundbite when he was playing Colorado. That's the extent to which I think the casual college football public knows Lanning, and they're about to get to know him a lot better this year.
Yeah, he gave our good buddy Tyson Alger, who covers things out here in the Northwest, a great quote of Oregon in the NIL recruiting space and people saying, it's just Nike, it's money, and he basically said, well, the rabbit has the gun now, in response to Kirby Smart, which was a great quote, and I'm kind of with you. Aside from Gabriel, because he's the Heisman favorite, he's the offensive player of the year preseason in the Big Ten, is there a position group for you when you look at this Oregon group that you don't think is getting enough attention that may make the difference if they are to take that next step or win the Big Ten?
Yeah, but it's not a star-studded group. It's just the two deep on the defensive line.
Thank you. back edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Big Ten Media Days are brought to you in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll, and we roll back to Indianapolis. We just talked with Steve Hellwagon of BuckNuts.com, who does an exceptional job. Back to Indy because swag has grabbed the commissioner. No, not Tony Petitti, though many would call him that. This is the college football commissioner, the one that wants the job the most. Late Kick with Josh Pate, our good friend Josh Pate of Late Kick Live. He's got a late, late edition today is what he teased on his Twitter account. CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ on Twitter, at Late Kick Josh. We have a lot of football to talk about here, commish, but I need an honest God's hand, hand to God review. Twisters. Where we were out on twisters.
All right. So you know I send out chalices of supremacy, chalai of supremacy. I also rate movies on a sliding chalai scale. For the listeners who are unwashed, if you put an I on the end of anything, it makes it plural. So we call a plural of chalice chalai. I gave it 4 out of 5 chalai. Mm. Let me get the small beefs out of the way. There was not enough overlap with the first movie. There were hardly any callbacks. If you watched this movie, you never would know there was an original twister. Not a bad thing, just a thing. The score of the movie I didn't like. I felt like it was plucked from a random action movie and dropped into Twister. The soundtrack's good. I hope you like country, otherwise you'll disagree with me, but the soundtrack's good. But here's what's most important. Okay, the vibe, they nailed it again. What it's like storm chasing, they totally nailed it. And again, for those unfamiliar, I do this stuff multiple times per year, so I know exactly, at least in this compartment, what I'm talking about. I don't speak authoritatively on much, but on this I can speak authoritatively. They also did not hijack the movie. The other concern we had in the storm chasing community was they were going to Hollywood hijack it, double H, as we call it, and that is take something you love and say, this ain't good enough. It wouldn't be entertaining. Let's put our spin on it. Well, they did that like 10%, which is anything Hollywood touches. But by and large, they left it alone. There were no like weird agendas pushed in the movie. They didn't make it a romance movie that involves tornadoes, which is what some people worried they would do. It's not some shrine to Glenn Powell or anything like that. Hmm. Everything fits. Everyone fits. 4 out of 5 chalai. Go see it.
I need to go see it. My little brother and I used to watch that movie religiously over and over again. Love Bill Paxton. Love Helen Hunt. I know it may be the most ridiculous part of that original as a storm chaser yourself. Do they have any moment where Glenn Powell is as badass as when Bill Paxton has the dirt in his hand and he just says, let's roll? Because he can just feel it. He knows it. He can call it. And it's ridiculous. But do they have a little bit of that at all?
Yeah. So here's what's crazy. Oklahoma, as you know, is a fairly big state.
Yes.
And it's out in the middle of nowhere. So there's a lot of middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma. We were out there in a very small, like, map dot town called Fairview 3 or 4 months ago chasing, and we had a tornado worn cell and we were chasing it out there. Okay, so we used this intersection, this little three-way intersection in the middle of nowhere in Fairview for our staging area. Then fast forward 3 months and I'm watching Twisters, and sure enough, the first scene, this is not a spoiler, but the first scene where all the chase teams converge on each other is right there at that place we had staged. And when I tell you this is middle of nowhere, it is 200 miles from the nearest city of any size. And so Glenn Powell pulls in there, cowboy hat on, and just screams. You don't face your fears. You ride them. There is a crowd around him. He said, hey, if you feel it, chase it. So, yes, that was the dirt drop moment in this new one.
That's awesome. Josh Pate is our guest here, the commissioner of college football. He's been traveling from media day to media day. He is in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Day. We just talked with Ohio State, Steve Hellwagon. We've talked to many guests today. Oregon's day is tomorrow, and yet they hijacked day one with a floating duck. What have we made of the new additions to the Big Ten this year and how it's all going over for other people that have been in the Big Ten?
Yeah, you want to be the person in the marketing department that makes every other person competitively in your field go, why didn't we think of that? You want to make their bosses come to them and say, why didn't we think of that? You could have had a floating anything. You could have had a floating corn cob in that river today if you're Nebraska, but no one else thought about it. It feels a little weird. I mean, I walked in the building 20 minutes ago. Lincoln Riley was on the stage, and they were asking him barbecue questions, which is the bane of his existence. And then they were asking him about his defense and how they couldn't stop molasses in December last year, as Meemaw would say. And then you juxtapose that to, we were talking to, you know, Greg Schiano yesterday, and it's the most buttoned up, roll up your sleeves, lunch pail, go to work, smash mouth style of ball you can play. And to think that All of that exists in the same conference now. And then you throw Oregon in there as well. The difference with Oregon, and I know this has been a talking point, but it really will start to ramp up when they start playing football, is a lot of these folks in this conference are going to understand that Oregon's built to play Big Ten football a little bit more than they are built to play Big Ten football. Because at line of scrimmage, everyone, aside from Ohio State maybe, and Michigan, will be playing catch-up to Oregon in that department. That's not to even mention the edge they'll have in quarterback play, perimeter skill, talent, and that sort of thing. So Lanning comes in here tomorrow. I am very interested to watch how his profile grows. I think hardcore fans know about him. Like, no one needs to tell folks like us about Dan Lanning. I still think the casual college football fan, they know Nick Saban. They're probably just now finding out Saban retired. They know who Ryan Day is. They know Jim Harbaugh. Probably don't know that he left either. They know Kirby Smart. I think they know the name Dan Lanning, and I think they remember that soundbite when he was playing Colorado. That's the extent to which I think the casual college football public knows Lanning, and they're about to get to know him a lot better this year.
Yeah, he gave our good buddy Tyson Alger, who covers things out here in the Northwest, a great quote of Oregon in the NIL recruiting space and people saying, oh, it's just Nike, it's money. And he basically said, well, the rabbit has the gun now, in response to Kirby Smart, which was a great quote. And I'm kind of with you. Aside from Gabriel, because he's the Heisman favorite, he's the offensive player of the year preseason in the Big Ten, is there a position group for you when you look at this Oregon group that you don't think is getting enough attention that may make the difference if they are to take that next step or win the Big Ten?
Yeah, but it's not a star-studded group. It's just the two deep on the defensive line. That group may be anonymous even on the West Coast. It may be anonymous even in the Big Ten. However, when I talk about that, I don't talk about it in individual terms. I talk about it in totality. Just the random quality of the second defensive end that they'll roll out in the middle of a game to get 12 snaps is much better than when he first got there. And he didn't inherit a poor man's roster. Mario left a lot of good talent up there. But the way that they have gone about just stacking and stacking and stacking and being totally relentless in recruiting defensive front talent, that's the difference. And it's almost like quarterback play. People talk about quarterback play all the time. And then folks who have to talk about the sport every day kind of try and find something else to talk about. They feel like they're talking about quarterback play too much. You can never talk about QB play too much. It's the most important thing in the game. Well, the second most important thing in the game is line of scrimmage talent and play at the line of scrimmage. And folks almost want to talk about anything other than that because they think it's boring or they think it's cliche to say you win games at the line of scrimmage. Well, I don't know. Turn on your TV every Saturday and watch the proof get thrown in your face. So that's why I go back to what I just said a second ago. You'll watch Oregon. You may watch Oregon all season and get to December and not be able to name a single defensive lineman of theirs. But you'll know when you watch them, they've taken it to 10 or 11 other teams they played, maybe 12 other teams they played up front.
I think we both agree that UCLA is in a little bit of a rebuilding stage. Deshaun Foster coming in. They're trying to kind of revamp that Chip Leaves for the OC gig. USC, we talked to Miller Moss earlier this morning. He was really interesting to talk to. And UW, both new members coming in this year into the Big Ten. One was in the title game, and they lost a whole ton, but they get Jed Fish. They get Will Rogers. They got some running back stability. Like, they went to the portal, and they're trying to recruit and rebuild quickly. And Lincoln, as you know, Feinbaum, your guy down there, saying, like, I'd fire him and I hire Dion after telling us Dion hasn't done a good enough job. I'm curious what you think USC and Washington will be year one in the conference.
Look, when he said what he said the other day, I mean, there's a term they've used in the South for a long time, Feinbaum season, and there is a reason why that term exists. He knows what to do in July and August. He understands there is a bridge that you have to build between July 4th and the start of fall camp, and that's how you do it. So I texted him the other day some choice emojis to express my sentiment on that front. Look, that entire – to go back to the teams you just mentioned – there's this interesting thing happening with Missouri and the SEC that I think correlates to Washington. So once you have a big year, and in Washington's case, they played for it all. At Missouri's case, they had a double-digit win season. I don't know what it is. There's a mechanism that triggers in people's minds that all of a sudden those become reload instead of rebuild programs. Well, those are not reload programs. Reload programs recruit top five-ish every year. And they portal that way every year. If you don't do that, which is 99% of the sport, and you have the kind of churn that Washington's had, you will take a step back even in the best of cases. There is nothing about that statement that casts an ounce of doubt on the ability of Jed Fish. Not an ounce of it. I'm saying if he's everything you think he is, then you're going to take a step back this year. I mean, do you think Sonny Dykes became a worse coach because TCU went to a title game and then was barely 500 the next year? Right. The guy was the same coach. It's right. just you got to it's not as simple as the old version of the video game made it out to be. Now, I'm told the new version does make it pretty tough to win. So maybe folks do need to hop on the Xbox or the PlayStation now to get a more real sense. But they'll take a step back. I was listening to Jed talk the other day. It sounded like he's trying to condition the folks up there as much as they can to understand, this is going to work, but it's not going to work win-loss column-wise overnight.
Yeah, no, it certainly won't. The commissioner of college football, Josh Pate, late kick with Josh. Might be an extra late edition. He is in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Media Days. Catch a show Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. A very old, good friend of the show. It's good to catch up with you, man. Enjoy the Media Days, and hopefully we catch up with you down the road.
I appreciate it, brother. We're almost there. All right. We're almost there. To quote Helen Hunt and Twister, we're almost there.
We are almost there. There we go. Josh Pate of Late Kick with Josh Pate on CBS Sports at 24/7. Wrap up the second day of Big Ten Media Day next on The Fan.
The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, our thanks to Jason T. Swigard, the Tyrannosaurus Rex that he is. Our thanks to Will Ortner. They are doing a lot more work than you even know. Will's been using like 9 things all day. It's been wild. It is unpredictable. Big Ten Media Day is crazier than anything we've ever experienced, I think, as a station. So Swag's done an exceptional job doing what he can do and wrangling who he can wrangle. Will, you're killing it as well. I'm just going to say this, because I think tomorrow, Swag, you're on with me. Do you fly back after tomorrow's dealings, or do you fly back Friday?
No, I fly back tomorrow. I might have to duck out just a hair early. I'm supposed to land around 11:45 p.m.
Okay,
so
all right. Well,
I'm sleeping as much Friday. I'm sorry. I know you wanted a day off, my man, but there was no way. And that's assuming my flight connects. You can't fly direct, as Josh mentioned to me, out of Indianapolis anywhere. So that's assuming my connection in Phoenix doesn't get fouled up.
Did you just tell me I don't have a day off on Friday?
Yeah. I thought the boss, unless you work something out, he asked me what I was doing, and I already had told him.
Didn't he know you were flying in at 11 o'clock at night?
He did know.
And he still was asking what you were doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I know you're getting in around midnight. Won't be in bed by almost 1, but interested in doing it.
Well, the biggest concern is my connection was so tight getting out here, and that was the plane landing in L.A. 15 minutes early.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. It's So
you don't want to sleep with Kim Jong-un on the couch?
Yeah, how dare you not come in from the airport?
No, I need to hit my bed.
That's okay. I may get it all figured out at the end, but it's okay. So I'll say this to you then, since you're leaving tomorrow, this is your last night.
Yes.
There's not an excuse you could give me to not have a St. Elmo's thing to turn into our accounting department.
Yeah, I might need to go buy for at least a cocktail and a shrimp cocktail. I might have to
at
do
the
that
minimum,
at the
get the shrimp cocktail,
yeah.
Man.
So, okay. Like I said, I have executive producer duties with our friends at the Oregon Broadcasting Network and Learfield, who are trying to figure out how to get things set up as they start broadcasting on Monday with some of their programming. So,
well, today was Michigan State, USC. Franklin is on the stage now, the main podium. Tomorrow is going to be Oregon, Washington are kind of the main teams for tomorrow as well.
Yeah, we got we have a tentative schedule for the Ducks. So between like 9:30 and 10:30, 10:45, right
starts.
In there,
yeah.
Is where they have us slotted for Coach Lanning and all the players. So it's Dylan Gabriel, Terrence Ferguson, and Jeffrey Bassa are the players representing Oregon. All should be great interviews. So you guys will be handing off to Dusty. So both of you will get some cracks. So hopefully that schedule that we have from them does not get altered too much. So that's the plan. And then it'll be filling in around with some other players that hopefully we can find, and a few more pundits and national reporters that have you've heard on these airwaves for a number of years.
Absolutely. So good stuff from Swag. He is going to hop off, and then he'll just be behind the scenes. He'll help Danny and Dusty. We're going to hop on here in just a couple minutes. They're going to go from 10 to 3. So that's going to be how the media day goes. Who they get, when they get them, it's going to be wild and all over the place. But assume you got some Penn State, you got some USC, there's Nebraska happening, maybe Michigan State leftovers or Iowa or whatever it ends up being the rest of the way. Danny and Dusty are going to have you covered coming up here at the top of the 10 a.m. hour. That is going to do it for us. We went an extra hour today, an hour-long edition, 6 to 10. We're going to be doing 6 to 10 tomorrow. Will's going to be hopping in with me on tomorrow's show. And as Swag mentioned there, tomorrow is Oregon's Day, so we'll get three players, Ferguson, Gabriel, and Bassa, and then Dan Lanning as well. That could happen during our show. It could happen after the show. You just never know how any of this stuff is going to go at these media days. Thanks for hanging with us, tuning in. Catch all the podcasts, the interviews at 1080thefan.com. And we'll talk to you guys bright and early tomorrow. Don't forget, Danny Dusty, 10 to 3, and then Isaac and Sue. Dirt and Sprague, we'll talk to you tomorrow on 1080 The Fan.
The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, our thanks to Jason T. Swigard, the Tyrannosaurus Rex that he is. Our thanks to Will Ortner. They are doing a lot more work than you even know. Will's been using like 9 things all day. It's been wild. It is unpredictable. Big Ten Media Day is crazier than anything we've ever experienced, I think, as a station. So Swag's done an exceptional job doing what he can do and wrangling who he can wrangle. Will, you're killing it as well. I'm just going to say this, because I think tomorrow, Swag, you're on with me. Do you fly back after tomorrow's dealings, or do you fly back Friday?
No, I fly back tomorrow. I might have to duck out just a hair early. I'm supposed to land around 11:45 p.m.
Okay.
So
all right. Well,
I'm sleeping as much Friday. I'm sorry. I know you wanted a day off, my man, but there was no way. And that's assuming my flight connects. You can't fly direct, as Josh mentioned to me, out of Indianapolis anywhere. So that's assuming my connection in Phoenix doesn't get fouled up.
Did you just tell me I don't have a day off on Friday?
Yeah. I thought the boss, unless you work something out, he asked me what I was doing, and I already had told him.
Didn't he know you were flying in at 11 o'clock at night?
He did know.
And he still was asking what you were doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I know you're getting in around midnight. Won't be in bed by almost 1, but interested in doing it.
Well, the biggest concern is my connection was so tight getting out here, and that was the plane landing in L.A. 15 minutes early.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. It's So
you don't want to sleep with Kim Jong-un on the couch?
Yeah, how dare you not come in from the airport?
No, I need to hit my bed.
That's okay. I may get it all figured out at the end, but it's okay. So I'll say this to you then, since you're leaving tomorrow, this is your last night.
Yes.
There's not an excuse you could give me to not have a St. Elmo's thing to turn into our accounting department.
Yeah, I might need to go buy for at least a cocktail and a shrimp cocktail. I might have to do that.
At the minimum, get the shrimp cocktail,
yeah.
Man.
So, okay. Like I said, I have executive producer duties with our friends at the Oregon Broadcasting Network and Learfield, who are trying to figure out how to get things set up as they start broadcasting on Monday with some of their programming. So,
well, today was Michigan State, USC. Franklin is on the stage now, the main podium. Tomorrow is going to be Oregon. Washington are kind of the main teams for tomorrow as well.
Yeah, we got we have a tentative schedule for the Ducks, so between like 9:30 and 10:45, right
starts.
In there,
yeah. Yes.
is where they have us slotted for Coach Lanning and all the players. So it's Dylan Gabriel, Terrence Ferguson, and Jeffrey Bassa are the players representing
yep.
Oregon. All should be great interviews, so you guys will be you'll be handing off to Dusty, so both of you will get some cracks. So hopefully that schedule that we have from them does not get altered too much. So that's the plan. And then it'll be filling in around with some other players that hopefully we can find, and a few more pundits and national reporters that have you've heard on these airwaves for a number of years.
Absolutely. So good stuff from Swag. He is going to hop off, and then he'll just be behind the scenes. He'll help Danny and Dusty. We're going to hop on here in just a couple minutes. They're going to go from 10 to 3. So that's going to be how the media day goes. Who they get, when they get them, it's going to be wild and all over the place. But assume you got some Penn State, you got some USC, there's Nebraska happening, maybe Michigan State leftovers or Iowa or whatever it ends up being the rest of the way. Danny and Dusty are going to have you covered coming up here at the top of the 10 a.m. hour. That is going to do it for us. We went an extra hour today, an hour-long edition, 6 to 10. We're going to be doing 6 to 10 tomorrow. Will's going to be hopping in with me on tomorrow's show. And as Swag mentioned there, tomorrow is Oregon's Day, so we'll get three players, Ferguson, Gabriel, and Bassa, and then Dan Lanning as well. That could happen during our show. It could happen after the show. You just never know how any of this stuff is going to go at these media days. Thanks for hanging with us, tuning in. Catch all the podcasts, the interviews at 1080thefan.com. And we'll talk to you guys bright and early tomorrow. Don't forget, Danny Dusty, 10 to 3, and then Isaac and Sue. Dirt and Sprague, we'll talk to you tomorrow on 1080 The Fan.